The following audio is from Fathom Church in downtown Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
Hey, happy Easter, y'all. Good to see you guys today. My name is Chris. If I've yet to meet you, I'm the pastor here at Fathom. This is our second Easter. Our first Easter in this building, though. First Easter in this room, so we're excited. If you're a guest, man, just so glad you would share part of this holiday with us. We've got a lot of work to do. So let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. There are Bibles under every chair. If you have an iPad or a phone of some sort, you can open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 is where we're going to be. Luke 24. If you don't own a Bible, I say this often, if you don't own a Bible or your Bible is in like an archaic English, you can take ours, one of ours with you. That's not stealing. That's a gift, okay? So we'd love for you to take that Bible, make it your own. Luke 24 is where we're going to be today. So I want you all to think for just a second about, like in your mind, a time where things didn't go out the way that you had planned. Like I want you to think in your mind of a time where maybe in your mind you had a scenario of how something was going to happen, only to actually, in reality, it turn out totally different. And all those scenarios, no matter how neurotic you were about running them through your head beforehand, they just didn't play out the way that you expected. There's this website that I hope that you all are familiar with. You should be if you are not. And it's called Awkward Family Photos. Have you seen it? Yeah. They've now turned it into a whole line of greeting cards, which is excellent as well. But people go onto this site called Awkward Family Photos, and they upload exactly that, awkward family photos. And some of them are incredible, and they capture a moment in time when I know they had a different plan, and all of a sudden, snap, and the picture shows something entirely different than they had planned. I've downloaded a few that I want to share with you. So these are some awkward family photos. Tell me that's not awesome. I don't think that little boy thought that this was how it was going to turn out. But it's excellent. Here's another one. Oh, the family photo with two beautiful, loving Labrador retrievers who just happened to choose that moment to fight. That's brilliant. How about this one? This one you have to look a little closer to see. Oh. And everyone with a little child's like, yeah, that happens. Just projectile moments of things coming out of mouths. This was not planned during family photo shoot. Here we go. The kids on a fence. Like Olin Mills goes and says, hey, you know what? Sit on that fence. And they're like, no way. You know, this is a bad decision. The wind gusts, and I don't think that one's making the Christmas card. You see this one? That's awesome. Tell me that kid is not some sort of levitation guru. That's incredible. That's incredible. I got one more for you. Here's my favorite one. What? A rowdy day at the beach. A rowdy day at the beach. That's good for my heart. That's like counseling. You know, that's like a free session of counseling right there. Y'all, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, and most of us are really familiar with this story, or at least somewhat. Like, you're here and you know that, like, we're celebrating a guy who said he was God who came back from the dead. Like, you kind of get the main gist, but Jesus' original followers, they had a whole different ending figured out. Like what actually happened and what was going through their minds, their plan for how Jesus was going to eventually come about as Messiah, they did not come together well. And what we're going to see in our text today is exactly that. We're going to see a picture of Jesus' original followers on the day of his resurrection kind of freaking out a little bit because they didn't quite see the end line up with how they had it playing through their head. And so, what I want to point out in this story today, I'm just going to give it to you right here at the get-go here, is we're going to see how we interact with this resurrected Jesus. Regardless of what your expectations might be, here's going to be kind of a three-point guide to how we actually interact with this resurrected God-man, Jesus Christ. So Luke 24, I hope you're there. Luke chapter 24 is the last chapter of Luke. And we're going to start in verse 13. And I'm just going to read, follow along with me. I'm going to read through verse 27 in this first run. So here we go, Luke 24, starting in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Okay, let's break that down. That's a big chunk of scripture. Let's break it down a little bit. Let me just kind of major milestones here. Right off the bat, the very first words, it says, "that very day." So that puts us on Easter Sunday, right? Like, we love the stories about Mary running to the tomb and Peter running to the tomb and the angels and the clothes. And it's exciting, but we don't spend nearly as much time talking about Easter afternoon and evening. Because after Jesus kind of appears in the garden of Mary and Peter shows up and doesn't see, then Jesus just shows up on this road with two of his followers. And those two disciples are now walking from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus, and it says it's 7 miles away. So we're not sure if they were just following Jesus and now they're headed home, like maybe their home is Emmaus. Maybe they're going to do some work there. Who knows? But these guys are traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus just kind of moseys on up with them. But they don't recognize him. Apparently, Jesus as a resurrected person can somehow shroud his identity from people. He does this multiple times in other gospels where he just shows up and people are like, "It's some dude," but they don't recognize that it's Jesus. So Camo Jesus questions these guys about their conversation, which is a weird thing, right? Like, it's weird that Jesus is like, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And they're like, "Haven't you been to Jerusalem? Like, don't you know what's going on? Apparently it's big talk." And Jesus, I mean, it's a little deceptive. But Jesus is kind of duplicitous here, right? He's like, "I don't know what's happening. What about Jesus of Nazareth?" He's like, "Tell me about him," you know? I mean, it's this kind of a weird interchange, and they recount the whole story. Like, they tell him the whole story, and they say that Jesus was a prophet, but they admit that they had hoped he was more than a prophet. They admit that they had hoped that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior that all of the Jewish nation had been looking for. And they mention the empty tomb, like they know about the resurrection. They mention Mary and these women who went there and found no body. And they even mention Peter, who goes there and says, "No, I don't see anything here." They corroborate the story, but they explicitly say they have not seen Jesus. Like, they haven't actually seen Jesus. They haven't actually seen some hard evidence that this guy wasn't just stolen from his tomb. Now, Jesus is listening to all of this, kind of, you know, in his shroud or whatever, and he gives the disciples, like, this rebuke. He says, "You're foolish. which might seem like a rude gesture from this unknown dude who's walking with them down the road. I mean, just put yourself there. Like, he calls them fools as they're walking. I mean, this is not very hospitable traveling companionship, but he points out to them the root of their trouble was their failure to understand and accept all that the prophets taught in the Bible. And there's two phrases in verse 25 and in verse 27. If you look down again at your text, he says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then in 27, he begins with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them all, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And that's where I want us to camp, y'all. I want us to camp in this as our first way that we interact with this resurrected Jesus. And that's this. We believe. We believe in Jesus. Now, don't get too cozy right off the bat, because probably all are like, check that off, man. I believe in Jesus. I sing that song. I believe in Jesus, right? But if you're a regular here with us at Fathom, we talk about this all the time. There is a huge difference between believing in something and just knowing intellectually about. Like, believing in and knowing about are two opposite things. They are not synonymous. Because these brothers, they know a lot about Jesus, right? Like, they recount the whole story, even the resurrection piece. But Jesus is like, you guys are fools because you don't believe in all that the prophets wrote. There's an important distinction here. And we know about this, church, don't we? Like, personally, we know about this. There are tons of things that we know about that don't ever really play out into practical belief. Here's an example. Working out, eating right, exercising. I imagine that we all would agree those things are pretty good. Like, good things. We know the benefits of eating right. We know the benefits of portion control, benefits of cardiovascular workouts. But does anybody believe in that to the point where they are practicing that all the time? Now, a couple of y'all are crazy. And so I know that you do. Like, you're a little over the top on this. But for me, this knowledge of what I should do does not always play out into my real life. Here's the example. I've told this to many of you before. A few years ago, as a New Year's resolution, I said, I'm going to get in shape. Anybody else has done that in the past? Anybody else willing to admit this? Thank you. Yes. Okay. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get in shape. And so here's what I did. I went to the gym, and I said, I want a membership to the gym. And they talked me into a two-year membership, which apparently is ill-advised. I got the two-year membership for two reasons. One, they said, it's the best deal, and I'm cheap, and so I was like, come on, man, I'm not going to pay per month for something that I can get for, like, way cheaper in a two-year plan. So I bought the two-year thing, and here's the other thing. I thought, listen, I'm laying down this money for 2 years, which will in turn hold me accountable, and I will go to this gym. Well, that two-year membership that I paid for, I used a total of two times. Yes, I am one of those guys. And there's a myriad of reasons why I only went to the gym twice, but y'all, I had the knowledge. Like I had the information. But information and belief are very different. I didn't believe in the gym. I just kind of thought it was a good idea. And it doesn't just apply to fitness. Try these on for size. You ever said this to yourself? Man, I know I shouldn't text and drive, but, you know, I'll just do a quick little reply. Just K, you know, send. That's safe, right? One letter. I know I shouldn't get the supersized fries and drink, but there's never enough fries. So I'm, you know, I just get supersize me. Go for it. Okay, yeah. This one, it happens in our house all the time. I know I shouldn't WebMD my symptoms because I know it's going to freak me out. And I probably don't, here, y'all, you don't have Ebola. I don't care how bad your headache is. You don't have Ebola. Don't go on WebMD. It's ill-advised. Some of y'all need to hear this today, and maybe this is it. Because what you've called Christianity hasn't actually been a belief in Jesus, but just knowledge. Like, information in your brain, But such knowledge is not belief. It will leave you empty. It will leave you walking away from the place where Jesus was resurrected, saying to yourselves, we thought he was a legit dude, but apparently not. So that's the first way that we interact with this resurrected Christ. We have to believe. You can't just have knowledge. You have to have belief. But there's more. There's more. So let's look back down at the text. This is verses 28 and 29, shorter section. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. So they get close to Emmaus. And Jesus acted as if he were going farther. More duplicitous movement here. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. So this is the end of their travel. This is now Easter night, Easter evening. And Jesus makes it seem like he's going further, but they invite him to stay. They it says they strongly urge him to stay. So here, conjecture. Let's step away. This is my guess. This is my question. This isn't explicit in the text. But I was thinking this week, do you think that Jesus would have kept walking if they hadn't invited him? Like if Jesus and these boys were walking, they did a little Bible study together, he's explaining everything about himself, but they don't know it's him. Do you think, I mean, he acted like he was going on. Like, what's the point of that? Unless he was actually going to go on, lest they made a step towards him. And that's conjecture. But I think this is the second way that we interact with Jesus, guys. I think we have to invite. First, we believe, but then in response to that belief, we invite Jesus to stay with us, to come home with us. See, I think that Jesus would have kept walking if they had not, you know, asked him to stay. I think he just would have walked a little further, they'd turn off to Emmaus, and he'd disappear and show up to somebody else. Like I think that's what would have actually happened if they hadn't invited him to stay. And I think, church, we must do the same thing. Because here's what happens all too often. Maybe we'll have some sort of spiritual experience with God, with Jesus. And it'll cause us to have some sort of belief in him. It's more than just an information. It's something that's stirred in our hearts and our minds and our souls. And we have some sort of, you know, relational belief in Jesus. But when that experience ends, we head home and it disappears. So I was a youth pastor for like 10 years before we started this church. And here's how it would play out for kids. It would be I can remember this, my first youth camp. I was a leader. I was an intern for this youth ministry. And it was this winter camp up at this Young Life facility in the mountains. And on Saturday night, so if it's a weekend youth camp, you've been to these youth camps, Friday night, you kind of play some games, get ramped up. Saturday is an all-day like experience. But then Saturday night at youth camp is the big thing where you get the band on stage and you get the speaker who's going to share the gospel and they bring the lights down low and everybody is like lots of tears are being shed. And I can remember my first one, like the band is rocking and the preacher gets up and he shares the gospel and there's kids just like, I don't know, they just cry on each other and it's, you know, it's a little awkward, but it's okay. But one kid named Pete, he pulled me aside after the preacher had kind of given an invitation to accept Christ. And he pulled me aside. He said, hey, can I talk with you? And I was like, yeah. So Pete and I went out to the side room. And this is like my third month of ministry, like fresh. I'm green. And we go out of this room and he says, Chris, I think I want to become a Christian. And I'm like, okay. All right, because I wasn't ready. Like, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't know exactly, like, should I go get the real youth pastor? Because I'm just the intern. But Pete singled me out. So I was like, okay, I wasn't really ready. So I was like, sweet, man, let's get on our knees. I mean, so literally, we Pete and I got down on our knees. And then I look at him, and I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, no, don't, stupid, don't give him a way out. Like, you know, just bad, bad evangelistic strategy here. But I'm like, he's like, no, I do. And I was like, okay, all right. So then pray after me, man. And I was like, Lord, I think Pete wants to follow you. So will you let him? And then I was like, say that. He's like, and Pete, and I don't remember the exact words, but Pete was like, Lord, I want to follow you. And in that moment, Pete became a Christian. Like he believed in Jesus. He accepted Christ. But here's the thing. If he would have gone home and got back into his rhythm, got to school, got with his friends, and nothing changed beyond that just quick little prayer. Now I don't know if that's actually true. Like that might only be a heightened emotional experience that one would have at a camp. But when we believe in Jesus, the next step is we have to invite him into everything in our lives. It's not just on those I'm hyped up moments, but it's at your house, it's with your family, it's in your job, it's everywhere, it's with your finances. And y'all, those experiences that we feel are great, but they will not sustain us. So here's another question. Maybe this is for you today. Have you ever invited Jesus home with you? Like invited him to come outside of this place, outside of this spiritual experience and into your life. Invited him into your marriage. Invited him into how you parent. Have you done that? You have to invite Jesus in. And that's the second way that we interact with this resurrected Christ. But there's one more. And my clicker died, so you got to follow me. Luke 24, look at the last couple of verses, 30 through 32 with me. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us scriptures. So Jesus, he comes in. Remember, they still don't know who he is, right? He's still some anonymous traveler, but they invite him for dinner. And as he breaks the bread, now some people think this is communion. I don't know. I think they're just eating some food, okay? But he breaks the bread and their eyes are instantly opened. Like this is the other he can shroud himself, but he can instantly reveal himself. Really cool. And then literally, they're like, that's Jesus, and then he disappears. Like anticlimactic at some level. I mean, kind of cool, but like what? I mean, it's like an amplified version of somebody you're talking about somebody, and they're behind you, and your friend's like trying to, like that. You gotta keep your eye. But that's how it played out. And it's fascinating that they said in that last verse, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to him on the road? What an interesting verse that is. And that's, I think, where we're going to find the third aspect of how we interact with Jesus. We believe, we invite, and then he reveals. Now, this might seem backwards. Like logically in your mind, this might seem like it's out of order. But knowledge about Jesus is abundant, okay? You can learn a ton about him. We already went over this. And frankly, you might even have inklings of belief as you kind of grow in your understanding and experiences with Jesus. You might actually believe in him. But we only get to see him for who he truly is when he reveals himself to us. And I think that follows our belief and our invitation. At some level, follow me here, you cannot experience all that Jesus has to offer you unless you're willing to jump in this deep end with him. Let me give you an example. So I have a couple friends who have played college and even pro football, okay? I have never played any organized football at all, which you should be surprised at due to my incredible athletic prowess, okay? Like I was just too lanky and awkward to be a good football player. But I love football. Like I love the game. I love watching. I'm a fan. I love knowing how plays work. I love thinking about how defenses affect how offenses play. I mean, these things are fascinating. Like I'm a fan. It was a good year, right? But here's the thing. I have no idea what it feels like to take a full hit from a 300-pound dude in pads. Like a straight-on shot. I have no idea how that feels. Like, I don't know exactly what it's like to out-sprint a defensive player and catch a ball over my shoulder to run in for a touchdown and the glory that you would experience scoring a play like that. I have no idea what it's like to pass rush, sack the quarterback into the ground, and hear the wind bursting out of his lungs. But my boys who played, they know what those things are like. They know what that's like because they've been on the field. And frankly, y'all, I've never even been on the field. Like, I love football. I'm interested in football, but I cannot fully experience football unless I get out there and play it, and I would die. And church, that's how it is with Jesus, I think. Like, you can only get so much out of this thing if you're on the sidelines. You hear me on that? You can only get so much out of this thing if you're playing the bench, if you're riding the bleachers. You have to actually get out there. So you can be on the sidelines and learn a lot about theology and about the Bible. And you can even have experiences as a fan where you're elated. But if you don't get out there and play, I don't think you're ever going to fully understand who this resurrected Jesus is, because I think he only reveals himself fully to those who are in the game. That's the only way that Christ truly reveals himself on the field, not on the sidelines. So, those are the three things I see in this resurrection passage that gets overlooked. We believe in this resurrected Jesus, and we invite this resurrected Jesus to our lives, and then he reveals himself through a myriad of ways. So what am I telling you today? Like, what's the one thing as Easter Sunday at Fathom Church is kind of coming to an end? Well, to some of you, I'm saying this, and you might not like this. You have not been interacting with Jesus the way you're supposed to. Some of y'all who come here every Sunday are not interacting with Jesus the way you're supposed to. Like, maybe you've known about him, but have you ever really believed in him? Because there's a big difference. And then even if you have believed in him, maybe you haven't actually invited him into your life. Like, into all aspects of your life. Because if you haven't done those two things, there's very little likelihood that you have actually seen or had revealed to you who Jesus actually is. You're either on the sideline or you're riding the bench or you're in the stands. Or here's the other option. Maybe you're not even aware that there's a game. You're like, football? Don't they kick that thing? You know, like, you're thinking different game, right? You're thinking a whole different world. Like, it's Easter. I get it. Some of y'all are here just for today. So let me just plead with you as we finish up here. Whatever life that you're seeking, like this good life that you are looking for, in whatever area that you're seeming to find this. So maybe it's in relationships or success or money or power. Maybe you're just a thrill seeker and you're looking for the best experiences you can have, or recreation or family. You just want the best. Like, wherever you're trying to find life, all of those things are ultimately going to fail you. Because here's a sad thing. People will die that are close to you. Your body is going to fail, and you're not going to be able to backcountry ski the way that you do. Like, all of those things will eventually fail you. But the resurrected Jesus is the only one who can fill your desires. There's this game going on, and you are invited to play. You're not a coach. You're not a fan. You don't get to start a fan club with a Facebook page and all. You just get to play the game if you want. So, church, I'll lay on you what the disciples felt on that Easter, on that road. Are your hearts burning within you? Maybe you're not even sure what they're burning for, but are your hearts burning within you? So, let me put before you that is the resurrected Jesus whispering, calling to you to believe, to invite, because he wants to reveal who he is to you. That's what we celebrate this day. Let's pray together. Yeah, Father, we are in love with this man named Jesus, your son, who lived a perfect life, who went on Friday and died in our place. Only that three days later, he would raise from the grave. Or that you would resurrect him. He would be the first one who could walk through walls. He would be the first one who could camo up. He would be the first one who could disappear and reappear. But the promise for us who are in Christ, who believe, who invite, and who have seen this Jesus revealed to us, for those of us who are in that camp, Lord, there is the offer of resurrection just like that. And so, Father, as we celebrate with family and friends, as we look at candy and eggs and ham and the good things that happen on Easter, Lord, let us not neglect the Jesus who resurrected, who wants to reveal himself to us. God, my prayer for my brothers and sisters here who have believed and have invited is that they would experience him anew. Lord, my prayer for my friends here who maybe have some information and maybe have done a few Christian things but have never really believed or invited, I would pray that they would do that this morning. And Father, if there are folks in here, and I am blessed by the fact that you would bring those folks here who are just unaware of any of this stuff, God, I would pray like Pete did. That they would just say to you, God, I want you. I need you. Show me who you are. And God, we know that you are faithful to do that. So, Father, thank you for this message. Let us now, out of a response to you and your goodness, worship. Praise you, Father. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.